Drive, guys, gearing up for the Raptors and the Kings on this Friday at the Golden One Center. And Kyle Draper has a special guest for us.
Yeah, we got to bring in our guy, associate head coach of your Sacramento Kings, head coach of Team Canada as well, led them to the bronze medal in the FIBA World Cup this past summer. Jordy Fernandez joining us on the Drive, guys, here. Jordy, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem, no problem. First of all, congrats on that big win the other night, double overtime. I want to start right there, if you will. You know, Malik Monk, we've seen him. He's a fiery guy. But, man, when he steps on that floor, he's like the heart and soul. Tell me about Malik behind the scenes, what he gives this team, and how valuable he is to the Sacramento Kings.
Well, you just said it. His energy is contagious, not just with his scoring, but also sharing the basketball. And that's just who he is in a day-to-day, you know, a guy with a smile on his face. And like I said, you just can feel him around, good energy, good presence. That's why we love him so much.
Jordy, I know that coaches can't afford to look at things this way, but that game Wednesday was one of the great games in the short history of the Golden One Center. What was the most gratifying thing about Wednesday's win for you and for the rest of the coaching staff?
I think finding a way, because it wasn't a perfect game by any means. And we ended up the game the way we wanted to. We have to be better on both ends of the floor. We cannot afford that many turnovers. And then obviously defensively, we struggled at the 3-point line. We did good with defending the paint, but we have to be better. We want to be in the top 10 defensively, something that we wanted to improve from last year, and we just got to keep working.
Jordy, I was going to ask you about the defense, because I know that's your specialty, and I know you, Mike Brown, the rest of the coaching staff, that has been a point of emphasis this season. When you look at what the Kings do defensively, what's your focus? Is it protecting the paint? Is it defending three? Does it depend on matchups? Is it physicality? What do you want to see from the guys defensively?
Yeah, well, you know, the NBA tendencies are, you know, the shot quality is important, so defending without fouling is important. We have been physical, which we can live with some of those, some of the free throws, because that's how we want to play. We want to defend the rim, and it's got to be 1 through 5, protecting the paint, protecting the rim as a unit, and defending the 3-point line. So we've gotten better. If you look at last year's numbers, we just have to continue to work in that direction.
Jordy, anybody who's watched basketball for a long time knows that offense sometimes can seem like it's contagious. Guy makes a shot, team makes layups, all of a sudden everybody's making shots. In your view, does defense kind of work that way as well? If one or two guys start really playing good defense, can the team just kind of pick up from that and start playing better defense as well?
Yeah, I think we've seen it recently, especially, like, I don't know if you remember Trey Lyles the other day.
Yeah.
He took, like, 3 charges, and I think that's also contagious, rebounding and Domas, because, you know, the beginning of your offense, usually it's a defensive rebound. So, you know, that's what we want to do. We want to be good on the defensive glass so we can run. And I know we've been good also running off makes, but obviously it's a lot better to run off from stops than running from makes. So I think it goes both ways. Offense can help defense, but definitely defense can help your offense. So, as you know, those go connected, hand in hand. Mm-hmm.
Jordy Fernandez joining us. Jordy, you got the Toronto Raptors tonight. As you prepare for this team tonight, they obviously made a huge trade last weekend, sort of a different team now with R.J. Barrett and Emmanuel Quickly. How different are the Raptors over the last week versus the first 30 games of the season or so?
I mean, those are 2 starters on their new team. Obviously, a very different team. They've played 2 games. They're 2-0. Quickly is a very good shooter, scorer. It's one of the smaller guys now that's playing, because they're a very long and athletic team. And RJ is a very good physical scorer. Doesn't need much. And especially a catch and go, second side catch and shoot, especially corner 3. So, in my opinion, they've gotten better. They've proved it so far, and it's going to be a fun game because they're a very good team.
I hate to go here, Jordy, but of course we have to. How frustrating are the missed free throws for you and for the players? And what, as coaches, can you do about it?
Keep working. And obviously we're not trying to miss free throws. Just obviously we don't want to, stress out too much, because sometimes if you keep yelling at your playing, don't miss free throws, obviously they're not trying to miss. So,
yeah.
You know, we want to work on it, but also we know we're a good free throw shooting team, and it will show.
Jordy, you know, after that win the other night, a big win, obviously, you know, De'Aaron Fox, 6 of 22 from the field, didn't have his best stuff. How encouraging was it to see you guys actually gut this one out when your star player might not always have it? He didn't have it the other night, but it was a total team effort.
Yeah, I think, you know, when good teams play very well, they pretty much can beat anybody. But I think that when a team doesn't play well and still finds a way to win, that's a sign of a great team, and that's who we're trying to be. We have long ways to go, but what we did last year and what we're continuing to do, we want to establish ourselves in this league as a winning program for a long time, and I think we're in the right direction, especially, being led by Coach Brown and the rest of the organization, how things are working.
We know that one of the goals for this year was to take better advantage of home court advantage, and I know that we just had a clunker this week, and that happens, but how do you feel about how well the team has progressed in terms of just defending the home floor this season?
I've always felt like we've been really good at home, and obviously, as you know, it's because of our fans and the energy that we have here, how fast we can play. Obviously, we make a lot more shots here at home, so it's great to play in Sacramento, one of the best arenas in the NBA. So I think we're taking advantage of it. Like you said, we can keep improving, but playing at home, it feels like we're playing with six players.
Jordy Fernandez, associate head coach, joining us. Jordy, I want to go back to Mike Brown and Malik Monk and that exchange they had. Really, I want to talk about Mike's reaction, pulling Malik to the side the day after, calling him into the office, apologizing to him for not coaching him correctly in that moment. How can that help a team? You know, I've maintained, and we've heard it before, you know, you grow stronger and more together in times of toughness, tribulation. How did that help? Will that help, you think, going forward?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what was said, but one thing that I can tell you is Coach Brown is big in accountability, and it goes both ways. And the same way, he holds guys accountable. He's very receptive when guys hold him accountable, and I think that's how it should be. That's our mindset as a group. We're in this together. We all make mistakes, but at the end of the day, we try to do what's best for the team. So I think that's the reason why you guys can see what you see on the court from a group that plays hard. It's not always perfect, but we try to do our best to compete.
Jordy Fernandez joining us. Jordy, I'm a little pissed off about something.
Uh-oh.
You know, indulge me if you will. De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis, they're putting up all NBA numbers again. The team is winning, but yet when it comes to all-star voting, De'Aaron Fox, 200,000 votes. Domas, not even in the top 10. What are fans missing, and why should they vote for our guys? Tell me about our guys and why we should push the ballots for them.
I mean, for us, they're all-star players. They're all NBAs. That's what we believe in our locker room. That's what our fans believe, the rest of the NBA. Yes, we want everybody else to vote for them. They deserve it, but the reality is, we don't care because we believe in them, and we'll prove everybody else how good of a basketball team we are, how much we can grow, and what we're going to do in the postseason.
Good stuff as always, Jordy. Thanks so much for jumping on with us, man. I know you got to get ready for tonight's game. Hopefully we can light the beam. See you in a few when you get here.
Thank you, Jordy.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
All right, Jordy Fernandez. You know, here's an interesting.
Did you try to get him fired up?
I tried to get him fired up. He didn't. He didn't take the bait on that. I'm fired up, but I'll be fired enough for both of us. Here's the thing about Jordy, though. He coached Team Canada in the FIBA World Cup, and they beat Team USA for the bronze medal. I thought he did a phenomenal job. Obviously, a loaded roster.
He coached R.J. Barrett, right?
Yeah, R.J. Barrett. Shea, R.J. Barrett, who we'll see tonight. Jordy, one of the best young minds in the game, and he'll be a head coach someday, no doubt about it.
Yeah, one of the things that's always clear when we talk to him is he's always so respectful of Coach Brown.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because one of the things that comes up is your coaching future, and he's always, no, I'm, you know, Coach Brown is the great coach, and he's our coach here. So we appreciate some insight there from Jordy Fernandez, who kind of referenced without meaning to the sixth man. When we play in Sacramento, we feel like we're playing with six.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. This crowd, and I thought the crowd was huge the other night in that win. You know, you got an Orlando team that's maybe they look the best they have all season in terms of shooting, knocking down 25 threes. And, you know, if the crowd's not into it the way they are, you know, maybe you can get a deflated. Maybe you can, you know, hang your shoulders a little bit. But, you know, I thought the players fed off the crowd. Malik obviously brought the energy, and the crowd gave it back. Like, you know, when you talk about certain players who are meant for a city, Malik Monk is meant for Sacramento. He's played in Charlotte, did okay. Played in L.A., did okay. But he feels like one of our own, you know? And so I hope we re-sign him. He is a vital piece of everything we do here with the Kings.
He didn't come into the NBA here, but he became an NBA star here.
Yes.
And it's funny you mentioned the crowd, because I've noticed, obviously, Kings fans respond well to a lot of different players, but there's something unique about when Malik does something. And he did a lot of things, of course, Wednesday, and people just really react differently to Malik's dunks and scores.
And it's like you said, because he's raw, he's him, no matter what,
right?
You know, good, bad, and ugly, he's gonna, you know, bring that fire, bring that energy. And so, no, you're right, man. I think, and the fact that it didn't pan out in Charlotte, the Lakers let him go, and he embraced being here in Sacramento, playing with this guy De'Aaron Fox, I think that makes us love him even more.
Yep, absolutely. Sacramento, you know, we're pretty raw, we're pretty honest, and so I think that's one of the reasons people love Malik Monk, and let's see how he follows up on his 37-point game tonight against the Toronto Raptors. Take a quick timeout. When we come back here, ESPN.com asked this week, are the Warriors young players ready to continue the dynasty? Well, the answer apparently is nope, but does that create opportunities for the Kings? We're back with that from the Golden 1 Center next. Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports.
The NFL's leading rusher plays here.
The handoff to McCaffrey, walks in the end zone. Handoff to McCaffrey, takes it right down to the goal line. He does his thing again.
McCaffrey goes in motion right. Backwards pass led by Juszczyk. A block there.
Hurdles a man. 10-5. Touchdown! CMC!
You can hear all of Christian McCaffrey's touchdowns on your home for 49ers football. Sacktown Sports.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger. Because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Your home for Kings basketball for over 25 seasons.
Sacktown Sports.
Great to be a Sacramento Kings fan right now, because the Kings have already won 20 games. Also, let's face it, the little schadenfreude involved. It's great to be the Kings and look at the Lakers and say, woof, glad I'm not them. And it's great to be the Kings and look at the Warriors and say, woof, glad I'm not them, right? That's just the reality of the situation.
You know, both those teams have issues, not only just basketball, but just leadership.
Organizational.
Yeah, they're at a crossroads right now, and we're a pretty stable franchise right now. Sure, we want to make some tweaks to the roster, upgrade it, but for the most part, this Kings team, drama-free.
Mm-hmm.
No issues right now.
Yeah, we have a little, what do you want to call it, drama? The Malik, Mike Brown thing. But even when you see it, you go, okay, we pretty much know what that's about.
Right.
There's no mystery to it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, after sitting for the final 18 minutes of that crushing loss to the Nuggets last night, Jonathan Kuminga, according to a source, has lost faith in Coach Steve Kerr. And the source tells Anthony Slater, Thursday night was the straw that broke the camel's back. I don't know, you know, if you're Steve Kerr and you're already, you know, dealing with a lot as it is, what does that even mean? Oh, he's lost faith in me. What? How is Steve Kerr supposed to react to that? Is that a trade demand?
Right.
Obviously,
right.
If Steve Kerr had more faith in Kuminga, he would have been playing.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, I was listening to SiriusXM NBA radio on the way in, and Eddie Johnson, former Sacramento King,
yes,
TV analyst now with the Phoenix Suns, Suns legend. He said, and I never thought of it this way, the reason Kuminga wasn't in there is because Steve Kerr trusts Andrew Wiggins more than he trusts Jonathan Kuminga. And I get it. Andrew Wiggins helped you win a championship. Andrew Wiggins is a veteran. I can see that. I can understand that. But if you're Jonathan Kuminga, if you're Moses Moody, there's no way Jonathan Kuminga should have sat the final 18 minutes of that game. Even if Wiggins is your guy, you still bring Kuminga back for a few minutes, maybe three, and then go back to Wiggins or something like that. But to sit, when you played a phenomenal game, and I'm not talking box score, I watched the game. They had trouble guarding Jonathan Kuminga last night. For him to sit 18 minutes, I get the frustration. He's been yo-yoed in and out of the lineup. You know, Moses Moody, for the most part, is being a good soldier. But now you're starting to hear, you know, our guy Jason Dumas down there at Crown Four had a story about.
Oh, he loves Kuminga, I know.
Yeah, and he had a story about Moody's camp is now, you know, growing frustrated about their role. And so Steve Kerr, I know he's loyal to the veterans. Steph and Draymond and all those guys, they got you there. Clay, I get it. But those young guys are a part of the team also. And it feels like there's a division between the old guys
Definitely.
And the young guys.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons Jordan Poole's not there anymore, but that didn't solve the problem. The problem I have with this is when you see what happened last night, and it's pretty clear, and I'm a Steve Kerr guy, but it's pretty clear he made a mistake, and his explanation was Kuminga was playing great. His normal time to go back in would have been around the 5-6 minute mark. Wiggins was playing great. We were rolling. We're up 18-19, whatever it was. So we just stayed with him. And then at that later point, it didn't feel like the right thing to do to put Kuminga in. So that's a terrible explanation.
Right.
Makes it worse. But for Kuminga's camp to come out, a source tells the writer, Kuminga's not happy. Miss me with all of that.
You don't like that?
If Kuminga's unhappy, hey, you know what? I wish I would have played. Or talk to the coach, but this Moody's camp says this, or Kuminga's camp has lost faith in Steve Kerr. I just think there's healthier, more direct ways to do it. This is just soap opera drama that I'm not interested in.
I agree 100% with you. But this isn't the first time that's happened.
I agree.
We hear, you know, and that's the thing. I'm surprised, to be honest, it doesn't happen more often. Because you know as well as I do, the player may not say it, but I'm telling you, he's getting text messages. He's going home, family members. How come you aren't playing?
Oh, I know.
What's going on? How come
I know.
You're not playing, you know? And so they're hearing it from all their friends, their family. And now Kuminga, it's sort of boiled over. And I get it. There's better ways to handle that. But we've seen agents leak stuff before. We've seen star players say they won out before. I mean,
I know it happens.
Right.
I just don't like it.
It's not healthy.
Yeah.
It's not the best way to handle anything. But can you blame them for feeling that way? Probably not.
Probably not, but it is. I think it's apparent that, and this is neither here nor there as far as how he's dealing with it. To Eddie Johnson's point, I mean, Steve Kerr trusts his veterans. Steve Kerr is just not as high on Kuminga as a lot of other people are. He's not as high on Kuminga as people within the organization are, right? Or he would have been playing. I mean, isn't that a safe assumption to make?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if one or the other has to go at this point, you know, Steve Kerr is, he's loyal to the veterans, but I believe this is the last year of his deal. So this, I think Kerr's more likely to end up going somewhere than Kuminga is. I don't know that that's I think that's probably, I don't think they're going to move Kuminga.
You might be right, but also Steve Kerr might be done and say, you know what? He might take the Bob Myers route.
He might.
Like, you know what? It was a great run.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go enjoy my time and do something else right now. Mm-hmm. There's no guarantee that Steve Kerr wants to be back next season, especially he has a tough job. I understand Steph Curry's all-time great. He had the roster, ready-made championship team in turn when you got Kevin Durant. Like, I get. But the off-the-court, the Draymond drama, dealing with Draymond Green, it's like being president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You go in there looking 35, you come out looking 75.
Yep.
Like, that's what it is for Steve Kerr. And it's been a headache, and he said it the other day. He said Draymond needed time away from us, and we needed time away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like, to me, when I look at dealing with the Jordan Poole situation, now you got to deal with Kuminga and Moody. Everybody's second-guessing you. You know, you see an aging roster in terms of Steph and Clay and Draymond. Your guys?
Right.
You might want to hit the eject button before it goes down.
Right. He's going to call up Bob Myers and say, Bob, wow, good move.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Why didn't you take me with you?
Exactly.
I should have left when I had the chance.
You know, I've said it before, man. Bill Belichick has this rule. He'd rather get rid of a player a year too early than a year too late.
Right.
And
right.
Bob Myers rather get out of there a year too early. And same thing with Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
The ship be sinking.
Bill Walsh was that way, too. And that's the old, like, Branch Rickey thing. Get rid of a player too early. And that's part of the problem in Golden State. They've been hanging on with these players. And to a degree, this is inevitable, right? At some point, Steve Kerr. We even see it with Belichick. You mentioned Belichick.
Yeah.
Belichick's on his way out.
Right.
There was a time, you know, it's almost unthinkable. So it happens. The team is worn down. They're going to have to figure out some things. They're going to have to figure out how they make that step into the next generation of Warriors, whatever that is. But right now, they're kind of stuck, and it's hard to see them pulling this back together with the same old, same old.
Yeah, and I'm looking at Kevin O'Connor. He tweeted something. It was clear a long time ago that Kerr isn't the best coach for Kuminga or any young player. Last night feels like the game. All the players will realize it, though. It's so inexcusable Kuminga wasn't out there. And here's the thing. Now you're talking about your legacy if you're Steve Kerr. People are trying to start pointing, well, maybe you're not that great of a coach. Same thing with Bill Belichick. You mentioned Bill Belichick. Without Tom Brady, see what happens? Now, with no Kevin Durant, Steph Curry aging, Clay aging, now you're seeing Steve Kerr actually having to coach his butt off with these young guys, and they're having some issues. And so maybe if you're Steve Kerr, you say, you know what? What do I have to gain by staying on? Especially when you're not a championship contender.
Right.
You coach to win it.
Mm-hmm.
But does he wake up and really think, you know what, as presently constructed, we can win? I don't know. I don't know if he does.
I think a lot of things, decisions that are made in Golden State depend on Steph Curry, too. I mean, Steph Curry is a Draymond supporter. That's one of the reasons Draymond's still there. So what happens with Steve Kerr largely hinges on what Steph Curry thinks. But I also think, you know, Steph Curry obviously is part of the old guard.
Right.
Steph Curry and the veterans have been slow to embrace the younger players. And it's also possible, and I know I'm in the minority here, it's also possible that Kuminga's not as good as everyone says he is. He's talented, but is he that good? I don't know. Should he have played last night? Yes, down the stretch. But why doesn't he play more? Is that all on Steve Kerr, or is it possible that Kuminga is just not as far along as a player as his fans want to think he is?
You know what? I would subscribe to that belief if I didn't see it happen with Wiseman. If I haven't seen it, I'm not seeing it happen with Moody. You got three lottery picks. Now, if you say one of them not good, But this is all three. Wiseman, if you say, you know what, maybe he's not that good. Okay. What about Kuminga? You using that excuse too? What about Moses Moody? Are we doing all three?
No.
Just aren't good?
No. Kuminga is playing. He's playing. It's not like he doesn't play at all. Now, I know there was a game in Portland, and he's got a great case here. He pointed out that Kuminga did. He found out he wasn't supposed to play at all in Portland, and then they went to him because they were not playing well, and he helped them win the game. So there is definitely something about Steve Kerr. There's a reluctance there to play Kuminga. The Moody thing, I don't get. That's been going on for a couple of years. Because, that happened here, right, where Moody was on fire against
the 11 in the fourth.
That I got
three
nothing
threes
for you.
In the fourth.
I got nothing
about to
on
hit
that. I don't know.
And he
I don't know.
Him. And, you know.
Because Moody plays hard,
right.
too.
Yeah. And I will say this, too, because, like I said, I was listening to Eddie Johnson, and he made a good point. And this is to your point also. If you're unhappy, go say something to the coach.
Yes.
Eddie Johnson said when he played, if a coach took him out, as he walked to the bench, he'd look to the coach and say, Coach, why you take me out? Then the coach would say, well, you didn't do this, this, and that. And then you live with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't, sit there at the end of the bench, pout.
Tell your sources.
Your sources, your people, and let them leak. Go to Steve Kerr directly. Coach, what the heck was that? 18 minutes. And address it sort of like, you know, Mike Brown and Malik Monk, they handled it the following day.
I agree.
To your point, to let it leak out like that, that really doesn't help anybody.
It
does not help the situation at all.
Yeah, everybody involved. When we come back, Siakam in town with the Raptors tonight. Is he a future king? Does his potential free agency scare you off? Pascal Siakam and a potential Kings trade next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
The Sacramento Kings play here.
Triple, Sacramento takes the lead.
Outstanding ball movement by Sacramento.
Every triple, every jam, every Kings win.
Sabonis with the jam over the Joker. He's got the three-point shot.
Get your Kings fix all season long.
Right here on your home of the Sacramento Kings.
Here's a steal by Fox, the breakaway. He's got the rip with the left hand.
Sacktown Sports at SacktownSports.com.
Drive Guys coming to you from the Golden 1 Center. Pascal Siakam tonight will be on the floor. Maybe he's going to be spending half the season here. We don't know. We'll get to that. I just want to circle back to what we were just discussing, which is the way things seem to be falling apart in Golden State. Kuminga's unhappy. And as Kyle Draper has said, maybe the unrest there ends up freeing up a player or two for the Kings. But DeMarcus Cousins has weighed in, and we'll get to the sound here when we have it for you. But long story short, DeMarcus Cousins is criticizing Steve Kerr for a lack of leadership and decision-making. DeMarcus Cousins is criticizing somebody
don't the messenger. Don't,
for a lack of leadership and
poor decision.
I'm not interested. If DeMarcus is talking about a lack of leadership and poor decision-making, he's not the guy I want to hear from.
You're shooting the messenger there. I'm listening to the message that words. He played under Steve Kerr. He played in Golden State. Let's not forget.
Not very long.
I understand.
He played well there, too.
You know, his leadership could be questioned. I get that. He's not the – but that doesn't take away from the message. And DeMarcus made these comments not today. This is a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
He said this before this latest. I just think when you look at Steve Kerr and the entire Warriors organization, This last year and a half, they have made misstep after misstep.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to the Jordan Poole, Draymond Green.
Yep.
And then it continued throughout the season. You re-sign Draymond. You give him a four-year, $100 million contract. You trade Jordan Poole. You basically ruined that kid's career. Sure, he got paid. He got his money. I don't feel sorry for him. But you sort of ruined what he had going. Now you're ruining Jonathan Kuminga. You're ruining Moses Moody. You're messing up. He's cost them the Kings game by taking out Moody. And I could argue he cost the Nuggets game as well by not going back to Kuminga. I'm telling you, watching that game, anytime Jamal Murray got switched on Kuminga, it was barbecue chicken. And I understand Kuminga's not a three-point shooter. He has some limitations. I get it. But Steve Kerr has not done a good job overseeing the organization this last year and a half. I'm not saying he's not a good coach, Whitey, or anything like that. But to DeMarcus Cousins' point, leadership, I think that's a fair question.
I don't think you can say, I don't think it's fair at all to say that Steve Kerr or the Warriors have ruined this guy's career and that guy's career. I would, no, that's, some of it's on the player no matter what happens. And I know they didn't handle the pool situation well. Steve Kerr is also, I mean, there are players that have gone there as young players and played very well. Looney comes to mind. I know that right now he's not doing a great job with these young players, but to say he's ruined somebody's career, that's a little overdramatic, in my opinion.
That's me. That's who I am. I'm a stand on that.
Yeah,
Jordan Poole will never be
ridiculous.
The same player because of what happened with that Draymond Green situation. Jordan Poole has become a punchline because of what happened, and Jordan Poole deserved better from Golden State. I'm standing on that, Whitey. What they did to that young kid, to me, that's unforgivable.
Do you think
messed that kid up.
If they had disciplined Draymond, would that have helped? Would Jordan Poole be in a better spot?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yes.
See,
that's what I'm – they basically chose Draymond Green over Jordan Poole.
They gave Poole a contract. They gave him a ton of money.
Here,
right
kid,
after
here's
that.
The money. Go shut up and play. That's ridiculous.
They didn't handle it well.
I don't care about the money. What about the respect?
I agree with you. They didn't handle it well. I don't think you could debate that. But to say they ruined his career, I'm not going that far. We do have this.
We're different. I'm saying I'm okay, comfortable saying that he will never be the same player again.
If you're suggesting that the Warriors are in the process of ruining Kuminga's career.
No, I didn't say that.
Speaking of who said what, here is DeMarcus Cousins. Here's what he had to say about Steve Kerr.
We go back to, you know, the previous summer. We watched Team USA. They struggle, and there's no reason for that. And it's only one common denominator in that equation, and that's Steve Kerr. Maybe it's time for new leadership in this Warriors locker room.
Oh.
Maybe it's time. And the reason I say that, even the Apple iPhone gets an update. You know what I mean? So it's time for the Warriors to update this team. And a new identity, a new system, something to get this core group over the hump. And I was a part of this organization. I know the mood. I know how they carry themselves. It's super laid back. It's super, you know, lackadaisical. It's very nonchalant. And obviously they get their work done. They're professionals and all of these things. But these were the standards that were set in place for this team. And it starts with the leadership, which is Steve Kerr. Now we're looking for some urgency now with this team to get them back in their rhythm. And like I said, maybe it's just time for a new leadership.
Very well could be. And if it's not now, you know, it's going to be at some point. That's inevitable.
Right.
That is inevitable.
Can we agree Kerr has to be better?
Yeah, I think he would agree with that.
He has to be better. And that was DeMarcus Cousins. He was talking with Rachel Nichols. And that's the same thing I said. Team USA, they flamed out. It went downhill quickly in that FIBA World Cup. And now we're seeing it with the Warriors as well. Kerr has to somehow be able to reach these young guys. Somehow be able to fix this. He's the leader. Now, should he ask more of Steph from a leadership standpoint? I don't know. I don't know if Steph's that guy or not. But Kerr has to do a better job with these young players.
There's, as you say, the Warrior way, and I think they would say that too.
Yeah.
And there's the young players, and as you say, trying to get them to become part of the Warrior way. It's never worked. With this group that we're talking about, we'll just say Moody and Kuminga, it's never worked. They have not figured out how to do that. Does that mean that they need to do it the other way and adjust the Warrior way? Do they need a new coach? Do they need some, you know, the idea was for Kuminga and Moody to be part of the new foundational pieces. That didn't work. So that's the bottom line. And I'm not saying you're wrong. If some of it's on Steve Kerr, that was the plan. This is how we bring this together. And then off we go into the future, a bright future. It has not worked. The two timeline plan, you know, we heard about that.
Yep.
We don't call it that anymore, but that's still basically what they're trying to do. And it has not worked. Failure.
Failure with a capital F, because you got three lottery picks. Moody, Kuminga, and Wiseman. And basically, you're not getting anything out of them. I know Kuminga plays 22 minutes a night. But to your point, I mean,
they shouldn't have picked Kuminga, in my opinion.
That's neither here or there. They did, and they didn't develop.
Well, that's part of the failure, in my opinion.
Yeah, they didn't develop him. Have they developed Moses Moody?
They have not.
Okay, and that's what I'm talking about. And we can look also at the Warriors' heyday when they were, you know, winning 3 out of 4 years. It wasn't because of young guys. They had savvy veterans, Iguodala.
Right.
Livingston.
They kept Iguodala around too long, too.
Yeah,
he was some magic elixir or something.
You know, you got young guys that they're trying to make their mark in this league. It's only natural.
Mm-hmm.
And as coach, Steve Kerr is like, you're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. At some point, the players say, when is going to be our time? When mm-hmm. are we going to get a chance to shine? Mm-hmm. The guy I feel worse for, Moses Moody, because he's been a good soldier, but for the most part. He's shown flashes, and he just can't get on the floor now.
To bring it back to where the Kings are, do you think if you're the Kings right now, you can look at the Warriors and say, well, they're not a threat to us this year? I'm still not willing to say that.
And I still would not want to see them in a playoff series. I just feel like the Warriors, for one game, they can get up. For a series against the Kings, they can get up. I'm not ready to write them off as a playoff team. I am ready to write them off currently as a contender.
They still have one more card to play, right? That is, what happens when Draymond's back? And that could go any which way. But if you're the Warriors, you could say, well, we've been without Draymond.
Yeah.
So let's see what happens when he comes back.
You know, Bob Meyer said it the other day on ABC pregame show, I think it was. The whole Draymond situation and all the drama, it's exhausting. Trying to figure out the rotation without Draymond, it's exhausting. Then you bring Draymond back. Now you got to learn how to play with him. It's exhausting. And so by the time Draymond comes back and they actually figure things out, you know, what are we, 33, 34 games in a season? Add another 15. You're like 50 games into the season, and you're finally just starting. And sure, you could turn it on, but you got to look at the standings. Where are you at in standings at that point?
Mm-hmm.
And it might be too late.
I think that's the last stand here when Draymond comes back of the Warriors dynasty as we know it. If it doesn't work with Draymond coming back, then I think they're going to have one way or the other. Break it up.
Do you think they do something by February 8th? With Draymond, Clay, or is it more of a Wiggins probably the most likely?
Yeah, they probably will do something.
Yeah, they got to, right?
And they also, you know, they want to win. They still want to win.
They still want to win, right?
Ownership wants to win. Yeah, so Wiggins on his way to Sacramento. I don't know how the poll's going. You'd be thrilled, right?
I would be thrilled.
You're having a big party?
I would drive down there, pick up Wiggs myself. We could chop it up.
What?
You know, talk about everything. Yeah, give me Wiggins. I
man,
like Wiggins.
Man, come on, stop.
You don't like Wiggins?
Nah, man. No.
Jay, you've been quiet for the last hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah, man,
now
because I've been letting you get it off your
Wiggins?
Chest, dog. I mean, this is your
Wiggins.
Show, but
tell
sooner or later,
not,
I'm at big fella. I'm about to say something.
Tell me why not. Give me something.
We got a break, man.
Oh, see.
We got a break. I got to pay some bills.
Figure out your argument.
Yeah.
Figure out your point of view there, and we'll get it when we come back.
S-O-F-T soft. Oh, we'll be right back with more on the trade deadline and the Kings and Raptors tonight. When we come back to the Golden 1 Center, Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. Oh, a happy day.
Yes.
Kings, Raptors tonight. How can it be, Kyle Draper, that the Kings have not beaten the Raptors in Sacramento since 2016? How can that be?
That's a great question, man. And I know the Kings haven't been great. Remember, Raptors had Kawhi. They had a great team. DeMar DeRozan, Lowry.
He was on the team the last time they lost.
Yeah, they've been good. I get it. But you would think last year we would have got them. And instead, we didn't. 113-95 they beat us last January. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. We've been talking about the Warriors a lot today because that was a great game last night. Two great NBA games last night. A great night for the league.
Yeah, and Wembanyama, I mean, they call him an alien for a reason.
That's not what Reggie Miller calls him.
What do you call him?
Wembanyama. I mean, it's hard to do. He was smart. He kept saying Wimby, but a time or two he tried to say the name.
Yeah.
Wembanana or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know it's hard to say. But anyway, it was a great great
night of basketball. There were only two games in the league last night.
Yeah.
And they were both fantastic. They were both great.
Is that the future of the league, Giannis against Wemby?
I think so. And it's crazy because when you look at And they showed a graphic last night during the game. Giannis's rookie year versus Wemby's. Wemby blows his numbers out.
Sure.
Like, we forget Giannis.
We didn't know who he was.
We didn't know who he was. He was really skinny, and then his body transformed, and now he's unstoppable. And it's crazy to think what Wembanyama can be in 3 to 5 years. If he's already this good, probably might even make an all-star team this year or next year, where he is going to dominate this league. He's like the next wave of big man domination.
Yeah, just opened another one of his rookie cards last night. So.
Oh, look at you ripping. Oh, okay.
John Williams here on the chat. Could it be that Mike Brown was the key to the Warriors' success?
He held it all together.
How about that? Chat comment of the day nominee right there.
Yeah, I like that. And maybe.
He got out at the right time.
He got it. Yeah. Sacramento plucked him out at the perfect time because he got the ring and then bounced. But I will say this, too. And I need to look at the Warriors. They got great coaches. But one thing Mike Brown is good at is relating to players. And I think that's a key job of an assistant coach. Because sometimes you can't go to the head coach. You're pissed off. You need a sounding board. And I wonder if Mike Brown was part of that, was a sounding board for some of the players there in Golden State.
You know what I'd heard? One of the things I'd heard through, you know, people that are connected about Mike Brown before he came here. Was, and this obviously is proven to be not true, but one of the concerns was, you know, he's a great coach, but, you know, sometimes you can't be such a nice guy. You got to be the guy, you know, the word I'm thinking of,
right,
with your own players, and not everybody knows whether Mike Brown can be that guy or not. Well, he can be
when he needs to be,
right?
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he holds his players accountable, and one of the things he says, you know, he learned from Steve Kerr, too, is how to relate to players, you know, how to have a softer tact with them, not, you know, how to just chill a little bit, you know, because Mike Brown's kind of high-strung, wired tightly. He learned from Steve Kerr that, you know what, I can chill and everything will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to micromanage every detail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny how time passes so quickly. I mean, it doesn't seem like that long ago that the Warriors, Steph Curry, his fresh face, and the kids, Klay Thompson, their jump-shooting team, can they win? Well, that was, what, 10, 11 years ago now, and now we're the Steve Kerr is dealing with a whole another generation.
This is a whole – you're right. I mean, from the start of their run to now, players are completely different.
It's
a completely different game. It's a completely different – and they helped usher it in. But the players are different. Like, they're coming in now – and I don't blame Kuminga and Moody. It's been, 3 years now? Like, when's their time to shine? And like you said earlier, they're trying to mix this old guard with this youth movement and the two timelines. It's just not working.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad to hear that during the break you had time to think things over and you've decided that you're going to back off your ridiculous stance on Wiggins.
I'm all in on Wiggins, and I don't know Jay coming from the top rope, you know, the peanut gallery back there. What? Why would
he
want Wiggins?
He couldn't stand it anymore.
You know, he's quiet now. I'm still waiting for him to tell me exactly why Andrew Wiggins would not fit here in Sacramento, why you don't want him here.
Well, I'm actually doing a job over here, Mr. Draper, because
right. you work it out.
Yeah, Shams just talked about the Raptors and the Sacramento Kings, so I'm getting that sound.
Ooh,
I'm
going to
get that,
okay.
Then I'm going to jump on later next hour and tell you why I'm not a Canadian Wiggins fan to come this way.
All right. I think I'm going to guess that it's because Wiggins is so basically just so soft when he's not playing well and he's just kind of a non-factor and looks disinterested. And that's just historically what he's been when he hasn't played well. And I think that's been Wiggins more often than he's been the player that everyone thought he could be. So do I want him here and then hope that I get good Wiggins, impactful Wiggins? I don't want any part
all right,
of that.
So let's have this discussion. Who would you rather have?
What are my choices?
Okay. No, I'm just saying in general. Siakam? Would you rather have Siakam than Wiggins?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
LaVine?
Nope, don't want him.
All right.
No thanks.
Jeremy Grant?
No, and you know I went through my phase,
right? So
you kind of helped talk me out of that period. Yeah,
DeJounte Murray.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Okay,
like him a lot.
Right. What does he want? What has he done? And I love DeJounte also, but he's putting up empty numbers down there in Atlanta right now.
he's putting up numbers and he can defend. He's been, I think, a more consistent performer at a higher level than Wiggins. The thing about Wiggins is my friend Dan Dibley on the flagship down there, he compares Wiggins to a radio station at K-Wigs. And sometimes K-Wigs is playing like Wham and Soft Rock and Coldplay. And it's like, you know, that's – and then every so often, they change their format. But that's a great description of Wiggins, the good and the bad. And I love Wiggins. I hope he has a great career, but just too often he's like, man, what's wrong with him? What happened? Hey, are you okay? And you don't want to trade assets to bring in a guy like that.
I don't know if it would have to be – you would have to give up a whole lot. Because like I said, they have a logjam. They're going to be sellers. Like, they're going to be addition by subtraction. Now, if you say, all right, I'm out on Wiggins, well, then tell me who you want. Give me who?
Pascal Siakam. I like that.
Do you know how much Pascal – we got who? Shams, Jay? We got
Shams. Yeah, Shams was on the show, The Rally for Stadium. He just – this was about 5 minutes ago. He's talking about the Raptors and the Kings' interest in Pascal.
Let's hear it. We'll get that for you at some point.
You ready, Jay?
Ramping up trade around Pascal Siakam. And I'm told the Sacramento Kings are emerging as a serious suitor in Siakam. They're among the offers and options that Toronto has. And this is a gaining interest for Sacramento to pair and combine a big three of Pascal Siakam, De'Aaron Fox, and Domantas Sabonis if they're able to pull a deal off. But what could be a very integral part of these conversations with Siakam is he is on an expiring contract of about $38 million, and his willingness and his desire to re-sign as a free agent in July, whether that's in Sacramento or another team that he does get moved to, that is going to play a big part in this. That could play a major role in this for if that team that's trying to get him is going to want to check into whether he will re-sign as a free agent. And if not, that could also dissuade some teams.
Wow.
There we go. Thank you, Jay.
Wow.
Thank you, Shams. Thank you, Pascal Siakam. I like it. I like it a lot. And I know there's huge risk.
Huge
I don't think
risk.
There's any way Pascal Siakam's going to say to the Kings or anybody, okay, I will agree to re-sign with you. He's just not going to do that. I still think he's worth the risk.
Sound like somebody going up to Canada to grab someone, but not the one Drapes wants.
You know, I never said I didn't want Siakam.
No,
I like
okay,
Siakam.
Okay,
I think,
okay.
But what's the price? It got to be three first round because we don't have the player assets that Toronto's interested in.
I'm just going by what your buddy Kevin O'Connor says. He says it revolves around like Davion, Herter, Barnes, and a first, some combination thereof.
And you,
we don't know that.
I tell you what.
That would mean that Toronto must really like Herter, Barnes, Davion, some combination thereof.
I'll tell you right now, Sacramento Kings fans and people on the YouTube chat, I'm going to look directly into my camera right now. That package that we just heard, Herter, Barnes, Davion, and what, a first?
Yeah.
That's not going to get it done. That's a worse package, arguably, than what they got for OG Anunoby.
So you would definitely do it for that if you could.
If I'm Sacramento? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a steal.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand it might be for half a season rental. I'm looking at two teams that, in my opinion, and I'm not Shams, I'm not O'Connor, I'm not all these guys. I'm going to tell you from what I know about the NBA. And if I was a GM, two teams to keep an eye on. Golden State and the Lakers. Golden State and the Lakers. The way Sacramento wins this sweepstakes, Whitey, is three first-round picks. It's going to take two or three first-round picks. At least, this we're talking about an all-star level, and I understand, expiring contract. Now, if it's two or three first-round picks, are you still okay with doing that deal?
If it's two and I can put some protections on it, yeah. And I know, I'm not dancing around your question, but, you know, quite often you're talking about top 10 protected, whatever protections. Yes, I'm very interested in that, even though
you might lose
them. I think I probably will lose them.
And I
like to
argue,
think I got a chance to keep them, but I probably would lose them.
Now, let me ask you this. You bring Siakam in. What does that mean for Keegan Murray?
Keegan, I don't think that it impacts him that much other than maybe there's not going to be as many shots available. But I think he still is going to have every opportunity to continue to develop. And maybe he can develop, if I bring in Siakam, at a slightly more comfortable rate for him. Yeah, we don't need you now to be all league by the end of March. Maybe it actually helps with Keegan's development.
I will eat my T-shirt if this deal happens. It just does not make sense from this point. First of all, you're giving up a bunch of assets for a rental. Second of all, getting Siakam would directly impact the development of Keegan Murray.
Will you wear your Brock Purdy jersey?
I will wear my Brock Purdy jersey on air for a week if they do that deal. Because I would be shocked. I would be floored. Not saying I don't like Pascal. I love Pascal Siakam. I think he's a tremendous player. But he comes here, and now Keegan, you're telling me, is our fourth option?
I think it might help Keegan's development.
When all I've heard and everything I've seen is, this guy is we expect him to take the leap. He's our guy. He's untradeable. We're not giving him away for nothing. So you're saying we're going to hold on to him as our fourth option?
We'll get back to it. We have to
Do we got Emil coming up?
Yes.
Man, I don't want to talk to that dude.
Emil Fragoso, our 49er insider, talking about Pro Bowl snubs. One of your favorites, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Emil is
a
Pro Bowl snub victim. So we'll get to Emil, and we'll get back to the conversation today. And, yeah, breaking news, Shams says the Kings are in. Shams says the Kings are in on Siakam, who will be here tonight. It's a big night here at the Gold One Center with the Drive Guys on Sackdown Sports.